you know, the culture of athletics can make it difficult for athletes to disclose mental health issues.
Hi, this is Ike Evans of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health. You're listening to Into the Fold, the Hogg Foundation podcast. The Hogg Foundation is a mental health grant-making foundation and part of the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more about the history of the Hogg Foundation, as well as our present grant-making activities, visit us at www.hogg.utexas.edu. Here with us today is Dr. Emmett Gill, an assistant professor of social work at the University of Texas at San Antonio. Much of his scholarship focuses on the intersection of social work and athletics, and he's here with us today to talk about, in particular, the issue of athletics and mental health. More specifically, about you know, the various ways in which the culture of athletics has been drawn into the larger conversation around mental health, and in his opinion, what more needs to happen in order to better address the mental health needs of a group of young men and women who are often under some extraordinary pressures to perform in the public eye. And so, Dr. Gill, thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you, Ike. I appreciate your time.
How did the issue of sports and mental health first show up on your radar?
Well, the issue of mental health and sports first showed up on my radar, I guess, as a doctoral student at the University of Pennsylvania. In between some of my coursework and my internship, I would catch a sports program every now and then. And increasingly, those programs began to talk about social issues that had unfolded in the lives of athletes. You know, for example, a father who was incarcerated or a family member who had experienced some type of drug addiction. And I began to think about the mental health implications for athletes who had endured those situations or overcome those situations, whether it impacted them personally or impacted someone in their family. And so that's when I really began to think about mental health and how it impacts athletes from, you know, not just an individual standpoint, but from the standpoint of the person in the environment.
The culture of sports can be a mixed bag. I mean, it offers examples of the best and the worst of human behavior. In your opinion, does the culture of athletics typically make it harder for athletes to disclose mental health issues, easier in some ways, or something in between?
Well, I think it's just that. I think it's a mixed bag. I think on the one hand, you know, the culture of athletics can make it difficult for athletes to disclose mental health issues. And, you know, we can distinguish just for the moment, you know, between the professional athlete, the college athlete, and the high school student athlete. Professionally speaking, when it's related to your job, it can be difficult given the culture of professional sports and the expectation that it is a job. You are there to perform. You are an elite athlete. You are supposed to be mentally tough, at least on the field. So it can be difficult to disclose there. When you're a student athlete at the college level, especially in big time sports, and you're fighting for playing time, you have aspirations of becoming a professional athlete. You have a number of factors that are happening in your environment with regard to your peer group, your coursework. It can make it difficult to disclose. And then we all know that high school is just tough, you know, whether or not you're a student athlete or not. It's just a tough time when we talk about stages of development, say identity versus identity confusion. So it can be difficult on all of those levels. You know, on the other hand, I think professional sports or sports in general can be a facilitator for helping athletes address mental health issues. Again, on professional sports level, you want your athletes to be at their best because you're talking about, you know, millions, if not billions of dollars are on the line with regard to whether your team wins or loses. So, a professional sports organization wants to do all that they can to make sure that an athlete is mentally as well as physically healthy. On the college level, it can be a facilitator because now you have access to certain services on campus, whether it be the mental health center on campus or the counseling center on campus. A number of athletic departments have moved towards having social workers on staff or sports psychologists. And then on the high school level, oftentimes, that teacher, that coach who's also a teacher, is one of the few people who spends enough time with that student athlete where they may be able to identify whether or not some issues might be going on in their life from a mental health perspective. So it's a mixed bag with regard to whether it makes it more difficult to disclose mental health issues or whether sport can be a facilitator of disclosing mental health issues.
Off the top of your head, do you know of any programs or initiatives that you consider to be on the cutting edge of this issue? Or perhaps you yourself would like to advocate for an approach?
Well, for the most part, my experience with mental health and athletics is on the collegiate level. And I think that the things that they're doing at the University of Michigan under the leadership of Greg Harding, who's an associate athletic director, he's also an MSW, is cutting edge. Just in the sense that, the athletic department has a great amount of trust in Greg Harding. He's well trusted by the student athletes, and he's their go-to guy. Whether it's an issue that's unfolding on campus in the classroom, or whether it's an issue that's folding in their personal life, Greg has a staff of three or four folks, all with, human service or social work experience, who are there for the student athletes. I think the same is unfolding at the University of Tennessee with Team XL, and I think we've seen the results of that. 4 or 5 years ago, University of Tennessee stayed in the newspaper. With regard to off the field issues. But over the last few years, you rarely see them in the newspaper with regard to those off the field issues. And their team XL includes, MSW, social work interns, and people who are really have an understanding of mental health issue from a person in the environment perspective or the social work perspective. So, University of Michigan and University of Tennessee are, I think, are doing outstanding work in that area.
Let's focus on football for just a minute. Over the past several years, there have been so many high-profile incidents of football players, for lack of a better term, cracking up in the public eye, often in ways that include violence against others or even themselves. So, do you think that mental health is an underexplored aspect of at least some of these incidents, or if it is explored, are our standard ways of talking about it, sufficient to do justice to the scope of the problem?
Well, I think mental health and ensuring that we're as mentally as healthy as we can be is probably an underexplored area across society. Whether it be in football or whether it be in business, is something that we don't pay as much attention to as we should. But with that said, I think when we talk about NFL players, and I think when we talk about the nature of their sport, given that it is full of aggression, and testosterone, I think that, we have seen incidents that would give us cause for concern. And I think that, whether it's violence against others, whether it's violence against women, or whether it's self-harm, they're all of concern. And of course, I think the piece that's gotten the most attention is the violence against women and the domestic violence issue. And, I do think for there's several reasons. But one of them I think that we should pay more attention to is the social learning theory, that comes along with how men can handle situations with women. I think that in certain cultures, men don't learn productive or constructive ways to have conversations, to communicate, and sometimes the situations end up in resulting in some type of physical violence, and that's very unfortunate. We could also look at it from another standpoint. Some of these young men have been dealt with in traumatic ways. whether it be, discipline from their parents or discipline from their fathers, and so that's the only way that they know how to deal with this. And when the situation arises, they resort to old habits. So that's a concern when we talk about the violence issue and the domestic violence issue. But I think another issue you raised is also very important, and that's the violence against others. And in the same, it sort of unfolds in the same vein. This is the way that they learn how to react, or it's a result of some post-traumatic stress disorder, in terms of the way that they have been exposed to violence. But then, I also think that there's this issue of, there are situations where people are aggressive with athletes, and people can put athletes in difficult situations. They put them in situations that they might not put other people in. You have to remember that, athletes, both professional and college, are very much in a fishbowl. They're very much in the public eye. And I look at the situation like with Jahlil Okafor, with the Philadelphia 76ers. Who's to say, that he was not, possibly defending himself? Who's to say that a fan did not take it, further than it needed to go? And we've seen this portrayed in films like series like The Playmakers, which used to be on ESPN, also Necessary Roughness, where it was a depiction of a professional athlete who actually got shot while he was in a nightclub. And so, again, like the other issue that we talked about with regard to domestic violence and violence against others, there are situations where it's a learned behavior, and there are also situations where athletes are reacting to people who may be violent towards them.
And for those who may be listening, Jahlil Okafor is a rookie forward, I think, for the hapless Philadelphia 76ers. If you're not a sports fan, just take my word for it. To say that his team is struggling mightily would be a gross understatement. I think they've won just one game out of 25 so far in the season. It's a level of failure and ineptitude that I know that the young Mr. Okafor is unaccustomed to, as well as the level of public scrutiny, right?
Exactly. And so, in mental health terms, we talk about an adjustment disorder. How is he adjusting to the fact that this is the first time that he's been on a team that's losing? How is it that he deals with this losing and being in the public eye, very much in the public eye, with Philadelphia being very much a basketball city? And so I think that, society in general, the casual sports fans as well as some of the hardcore sports fans, really tend to take these issues for granted when they can be serious stressors on athletes. And you think about Jahlil Okafor's situation, and you think about, well, not only does he have this situation that unfolds in public, but then you think about the implications for things like, social anxiety disorders, or you think about issues of depression. And oftentimes people can respond to depression, with violence. And so, the mental health implications, not just of being a professional athlete, but also how your team performs and how you performs has serious implications for mental health.
The culture of sports has traditionally placed an overwhelming emphasis on toughness and stoicism, the so-called manly virtues. Even today, we're quick to call certain athletes pampered or soft, for failing to conform to that culture in some way. How big of an obstacle is that to athletes with mental health issues asking for the support that they need?
It's an enormous barrier. It really is. And it's sport is such that we oftentimes think about the physical aspect of sport and not the connection between the mental and the physical aspect. And so it's an enormous barrier because when you're not able to perform at your best, oftentimes that might be able you might be able to attribute that to mental toughness. Not just mental toughness, but just the ability to comprehend the game, comprehend the plays, make the correct decisions. And for someone to be able to admit, for whatever reason, from a mental health standpoint or from a mental standpoint, from the psyche part of the game, for someone to be able to step forward and admit that they're not able to grasp that or they're having problems with that, that's very difficult for them to do. Because essentially what they're saying to their coach or what they're saying to their organization is, for some reason, I can't unlock my physical talent. And that's much different than trying to increase my 40 time or trying to increase my strength. That's much difficult because it's not something that athletes and some organizations have a grasp of. So it's not just the fact that it's difficult in the sense that you're admitting that you have this type of deficiency, but it's also that once we admit that this deficiency might be present or that this block, this mental block might be present, then there are a lot of people around us who don't really know how to deal with it.
So what do you make of the conversation around concussions in sports that has erupted in recent years? Research seems to show that there's a pretty significant relationship, and that may even be understating the case, between head trauma and symptoms, at least, of mental illness.
Well, foremost, I'm happy that the conversation has erupted in recent years because it's about time that it has. I've had an opportunity to work with a number of former football players, and some of the things that I've experienced just in interactions with them has been very disheartening. I mean, athletes who, 1 minute they're speaking very coherently. They're expressing their thoughts, they're well organized, and the next minute they can't remember their train of thought. They can't, continue the conversation. They have slurred speech. And then after that, they become very frustrated about it. I think that one of the things that I've experienced in my conversation with athletes who have experienced concussion is the way that they are have an inability to deal with the symptoms. They don't know how to deal with the chemical imbalances that come with depression, and so they result to self-medication or they result to violence. If they are experiencing symptoms of depression, then they withdraw from society. They withdraw from personal relationships with friends and family. This connection between concussions and dementia, and concussions and Alzheimer's disease, concussions and depression, concussions and violence are very real. And when we look at situations like Junior Seau, when we look at situations like way back when Marvin Webster, or when we look at situations like Chris Henry, the NFL, college sports, as well as high school sports, have to begin to deal with this issue. Because the reality is, and I think that we've said this time and time again, there may be a college athlete or a professional athlete, and we're wondering, why do they act like that? Why can't they improve their behavior? And again, I go back to the situation with Chris Henry, who was a former player with the Cincinnati Bengals. Talented guy, came out of West Virginia, had a myriad of problems with West Virginia, and no one could put their hand on why this talented kid could just not get his act together. And once he got to the NFL, continued to have problems, eventually, committed suicide when he jumped from a vehicle, but then we learned later that he suffered, various concussions. Never knew, we don't know whether or not he suffered from CTE. But we knew that he had a serious history of concussions. So I think that, concussions cause a myriad of behavioral issues, that not only do we need to begin to identify those, but we need to help athletes learn how to cope with those behaviors that come from concussions.
It can't be overlooked that the majority of male athletes in the highest revenue sports, at least in college, are African American. Do you think it matters that some of the highest profile athletes who have spoken out on this issue, such as, you know, Brandon Marshall or Arian Foster, both of the NFL, are also African American?
You know, first of all, just from a sports standpoint, the ability of these individuals to, you know, express themselves and share some of their mental health challenges has been enormous for the field. But moreover, you know, it's also been important to, you know, the African-American community, because what we do know is that, you know, the African-American community, in particular black males, don't look favorably on promoting mental health, don't look favorably on counseling, don't look favorably on interventions. And so it's been, you know, a major piece for those two men to step up, in particular Brandon Marshall with his foundation. And so it is something that's very important. There is concern, though. You know, I think, you know, informally, you know, across the league that they have brought this much attention to it, you know, in light of the issues around concussion and in light of some of the issues that have plagued the NFL. You know, but I hope that they continue to be pioneers in this area, you know, because it's certainly important.
Doctor Emmett Gill, thank you. I've enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your insights. We very much appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.